Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 167. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
I suck at tennis.
He sucks at tennis, but he is now the proud owner of a new iPhone.
That's right.
We'll talk about that shortly. And Jeff?
I kick ass at drinking beer.
It's like your best talent.
It is. I have...
Everyone has to be good at something.
I don't know, have you ever heard of Boulevard Brewing Company there, Tony?
Boulevard?
Boulevard? Boulevard?
Like the road?
Yeah. They're out of Kansas City.
What do they make?
They make beer. I'm drinking, it's called 80 Acre. There was a sign at the store that said, can't find Gumball Head, try this. So I did, and it's good. They call this beer in particular a hybrid of IPA and wheat beer.
Interesting.
And it's very good. It tastes close to Gumball Head, not quite as good, but it's also like $8.99 for a sixer, which is a very good price for a good beer.
All right, like because now IPAs and wheat beers taste very differently, don't they? Like.
Yes.
So how does that work? Cause like I don't particularly like an IPA.
I don't know. It tastes like a wheat beer, but it has that like IPA kind of bite at the end of it.
Okay. Yeah. Not sure I would like it.
Well, I don't know if they have it by you, but if you see it, it's not a big investment. You could go for it.
All right. Keep that in mind. And so this Gumball Head is, you've been looking for that, I guess?
It is. I've found it, but now out here it's kind of hard. It's hard to find Chicago, put it that way. It's even harder to find out here.
Ah.
So it's something where, like, if you go in a liquor store and ask them about Gumball Head, they'll, like, laugh at you and, like, yeah, no.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
See, like, the beer place I go to, like, if I ask them about something, they will go, we do not have that right now, but we can get it for you.
Yeah, they don't do that. Like, the most I ever got out of anybody regarding Gumball Head is they're like, well, we usually get it in Friday, and it usually sells out in, like, an hour.
So you have to, like,
so there's people out there, like,
stalk them on Fridays when they get their shipment?
Yeah, that was in Chicago. Like, this out here is just kind of like, I guess there was a place that used to have it on tap. Not anymore. There's some really good breweries popping up around in Illinois that make pretty damn good beer, and you can get them out here, so. Such as Two Brothers, throw it out there.
Two Brothers.
Or at some point, we need to work out some sort of beer scheme where we all have the same beer.
Like, try it.
And try it at the same time.
We totally need to do that. That's going to be hard, though, because we all live in different places.
Right, and getting these, like, especially these craft beers.
It would almost have to be, like, a Chicago area beer. Maybe, like, a Great Lakes. You got that out there, right?
I don't think so. I don't know. I'll look. That's the name of the brand or whatever?
Yes, the brewery. I think I'm pretty sure they're out of Chicago. Maybe it's an Ohio beer. It's nearby though.
It's not something I've seen. I highly recommend I don't know if there's a way that you guys could get Gumball Head, but if you can, do it. I don't even know if I could get it out here anymore, but I'm gonna try.
I'll ask next time I go to my beer place. Anyway,
like, what?
Sometimes we don't talk about beer. Those are bad times.
That's a mistake.
Occasionally.
Yeah. Occasionally we don't talk about alcohol. Jeff, what have you been up to this week?
I played Frisbee.
That's cool.
I also played a lot of GTA. Like, a lot.
Like all of it?
No, I'm not done. I'm at 36%. I'm mostly sticking to story, but I have gone off the beaten path here and there just to see what's out there in the game.
There's a lot out there.
Yeah.
Have any of you guys taken the trip out to the cult?
The what?
No, where? There's
a cult out in the...
Oh, God.
In the desert?
Yeah, and you can drop off. Like, so, plan is Trevor. Who we'll get to Trevor shortly. but plan is him, and, you know, there's those random, you know, event missions that pop up, little dots. And so there's this couple, they come out of a bar.
The question mark?
No, they're just like little dots. Like in the city, okay, generally right. They're like muggings or whatever, but I guess when you're playing as Trevor, he has the, some of his are where it's these people asking for rides. So this couple comes out of a bar or standing in front of a bar and they're trashed, like really drunk, can't drive home. He asks, the guy asks you to drive them to their hotel. And, so you pop them in the car, you can, you know, you have the line to take them to their hotel. Or there's an option for Trevor to drive them out to this cult compound where he leaves them for money. Like, he basically hands over his passengers or his captives and gets paid for it.
Nice.
And they'll use them as, like, what? Like,
I don't know.
Sacrifice or something?
I have no fucking idea. I got this one family. Like, so this couple I picked up, I was totally just going to drop them off at their hotel. Cause, I mean, they asked me for a ride back. But then the chick starts banging her boyfriend in the back of my car. Like, where I actually stopped, tilted the camera, and, like, you can see her legs spread, bouncing up and down on her boyfriend. All right, well, since they have no respect for me, which Trevor actually makes a comment of, to the point where they stop, I decided that I was going to drive them out to this cult compound. And when I got them there, which is a good 5-minute drive from, like, where you are, so it's out in the middle of fucking nowhere, you drop them off, and I got paid $2,000 for it, and they shut the door, and, like, they're whimpering as they get out of the car. Like, don't leave us here. And then they shut the gates, and I drove away. So, yeah, there's a cult compound that you can drop people off. But I think only Trevor can drop people off there, so.
It's weird. Is it, like, straight north, or, like, where would you describe it on the map?
Do you know where Stab City is?
No. Is it the trailer park?
Well, it's not the trailer park Trevor lives in. It's like this little shanty town that's off on the side of the little, what's that sea called?
I don't know. Is it north, like west or northeast?
Yeah, well, like right north of where Trevor's trailer is there's like this lake, or I think they call it a sea. But if you go to the, I guess, northwest of the lake or ocean or wherever the hell it is, he's out there. Well, the cult compound is out there. It's like this like weird symbol on the map. It's really strange.
I have not run into it.
Disturbing.
Been all over too, but that's wonderful.
Yeah. So there's a lot in that game. As you were saying.
Oh yeah.
So tell me about golf.
Golf is, it's pretty basic. Like, you go and play it, and it's, I think they even offer you an option to do 18 holes. You could do 9, basically.
Okay.
And, it's pretty basic golf. Like, there's not, it's not a full-on golf game. Like, it's close, but, like, the way you swing is by pulling back on the stick, but, like, unlike in Tiger Woods, it doesn't matter, like, if you're off-center or anything, it's not going to affect the shot.
Which makes sense. Like, I mean, that's a whole another game at that point.
Yeah, like, you know, and like, in Tiger Woods, if you, like, accidentally, like, push up and right on the stick, it's going to, like, hook your shot really bad.
Right.
But in this, it's just all you do is you pull back, and then like there's a meter like in the old school golf games, mm-hmm. and you just wait till like it hits like full strength on the meter, and then you flick the stick up. And putting, there's like almost nothing to the putting. Like you kind of have to read the whatchamacallit, the surface.
Okay.
But not really. It's like once in a while that comes into play, but mostly no. So I don't know. It's fun for what it is. I mean, it's a very basic game of golf, and I do hope like when they open up the online that you could like go and play with people on there.
I
think that they included. Yeah, I would, because like the way they talk about the online is like just do what you want. Like there's so much to do. Like there's a whole story to the online, but the one weird feature that I've never seen in a golf game is like you could like take a shot or you finish up at one hole and it's like, well, you could walk to the next hole, you could drive your cart to the next hole, or you could just skip to the next hole. It's like, why the fuck would I want to like walk to each fucking, I don't know.
Because there are people that totally will do that.
Well, it just goes to the whole, like the way GTA is, like just freedom to just do what you want and make
right.
it as real as possible, I guess. But
yeah. As real or as unreal as you want it.
Yeah. I mean, but I don't know. For me, I always just clicked whatever the button was to skip. To like, I don't want to walk hundreds of yards to walk up to my ball and hit it again.
Is there an achievement or trophy for golfing?
Good question. I didn't get one for doing the nine holes, and I did finish under par.
Huh.
I finished like one under par, so I thought if there was one, there probably would have been it.
Find that game to be very skimpy with its achievements.
Yeah, I'm only up to two.
I think I just got my second one.
Yeah, that's rough. I did get an achievement for driving out and dropping off those people at the cult compound.
Nice.
I think mine were all like triggered by story
missions. Yeah.
Just non-spoiler. Like, what percent are you guys into the game?
I think mine said 18.
I'm at 10%.
Jesus.
Is everybody through the first heist?
No.
Okay.
Yes.
So you haven't gotten Trevor that yet then, have you?
No, I have not.
Jeez. Well, I don't know what we could say, but I was going to say, this is not spoilery, I think that the direction they went with the game, like the gameplay itself, making it centered around heist, was a really, really smart move. Like, can we talk about this without, like, I'm not going to talk specifically about the heist itself.
Well, no, just, I mean, yeah, talk around it, because it is a mechanic in the game.
Yeah.
Like, it is, it is how the missions are structured, actually.
Yes, yeah. So, like, before you, like, the game is about you and these two other guys, or basically it's about three guys that get together and start doing heists. And, the thing I love about it is, like, all, like, the little missions are usually, like, there's some that are not, but usually they're heist setup missions. So it's like, go get this thing for the heist and go do that. So all, like, the kind of, like, not super exciting missions are building up towards something bigger. And when you do the heist missions, they are very intense and just cinematic and just awesome.
Well, so for some reason I decided I have like a half finished game of GTA 4 on my PC. So over the weekend I like booted that up and it happened to be at the mission in GTA 4, the bank robbery mission.
Oh, that's my favorite one.
Yeah, it's the best one in the mission. Well, like at least like from, and I've only played through the first heist in GTA 5, but it is that mission but with so much more player agency in how things are handled. And it's just so better structured. And because you have different characters that you can interact with, like, it is always keeping you in the action. In GTA 4, that mission was very much like you have to, you're Nico, you're killing all these cops as you're kind of like doing this heat escape through the city. But in GTA 5, you have set everything in motion yourself. You have a different way of choosing how you go into the building. Like, you can go in with guns blazing, or you can go in, like, a little more smartly. The people that you choose, like, because you choose your heist crew, the people that go with you, that depends on, you know, how things actually play out during the mission, and how well they perform in the mission. So, like, if you, like, oh, well, this guy only, like, takes, like, a 4% cut, he's not quite as good of a gunman. If you take that guy over, like, the guy who gets an 8% cut but is a good gunman, that could cost you. Like, he could fuck up somewhere. He might trigger an alarm. He might not pull all the diamonds you need or whatever as things go on. So it's really, really smartly done.
Yeah, as well as, it goes... As it goes on, you get more freedom over this, is the like, switching between people when you're doing one of these things. It's like, I just did this one mission. I don't think it was a heist, but it was, like, a big story mission. And, like, I was switching between, like, Trevor on a rooftop with a fucking bazooka, you know, and, like, Michael, who was guarding an alley, and fucking Franklin, who was holding off all these cops who were after us. And, like, it kind of lets you... just do what you want in that, you know, and lets you, like, you could fail, which I did a couple times, and then I figured out, like, you know, a way to make it work, but I don't think there's one right way to do it. It's just, you get to switch up between them how you want, and it's really, I don't know, really cool.
So, Tony, have you done any of the heist setup stuff yet?
I have, I just did the mission with Lester and the guy's prototype.
Oh, okay. So, like, the Facebook dude.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So you're very close to setting.
Yeah, I think I'm really, really close. I saw how close I was, so I decided to do some other stuff last night because I didn't have time to actually get into the heist.
And what I noticed, and if you know my Twitter feed is correct, the game gives you options for, like, the freaks and. Whatever it's like, freaks and foes or freaks and friends or whatever, right. Like those side missions with the random people, it gives you options for that, but as you play them it will start taking them away to kind of direct you towards the story, and then once you finish the story they'll open some of them back up again, so that there's always, it's always pushing you forward down the storyline, because at one point I had nothing on my map, and like at this point, I'm not even, like, 12-13% in. There was nothing for me to do except for the actual setup for the heist, because I had maxed out everything.
Huh.
Which I found a little weird, because it's all, like, I mean, I could just go around, steal cars, you know, upgrade them or whatever, or do any of the activities and upgrade my stats, but there was no actual gameplay missions on the board for me to do, except for the little dots that show up, the random events that happen, and they're like in certain areas at certain times of the day they'll pop up. But yeah, I had no actual story missions left, and I had no freaks or foes missions. And from what I heard on Twitter, which, you know, that's a 100% reliable source of information, is that the game locks some of that stuff out, kind of pushes you to do more story stuff. Which is interesting, because one of the complaints of GTA before was that, like, there's too much to do, I never finish the story. It's not my complaint, but...
A lot of people I know who are not, like, necessarily gamers, like, they just play GTA to, like, raise their star rating and kill fucking cops and shit. Like,
right.
They don't play the story at all.
Which I think the story is actually very well done.
Yeah.
Much better than in, you know, even like GTA 4. Like, I think they've learned a lot from Red Dead and from LA Noir in how to approach these types of games, the storytelling in them.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying the story. And I like the chemistry between the three leads in it. Like, I wasn't, and most surprising to me, I wasn't expecting to like Trevor. I think they, like in the trailers, they kind of exaggerate how he is. And, and when you first meet him, they kind of exaggerate, you know, his, yeah, like, crazy personality. But he's actually, like, a smarter person than like, the trailers would let on, I think.
Well, I mean, even those first missions, he is a very smart person, but he is, at least where I'm at, like, I don't see him having much in the way of redeemable quality. Like, he is a evil person. He's a bad, bad dude.
Yeah, but I just, he's not as cartoonish as
no, he's a believable, right, like, what is scary is that people like him actually exist.
Yeah.
Like, that is the reality. Like, I think, and actually I think all three of them, very realistically drawn, kind of, you know, Trevor is very much a sociopath. Franklin is sort of this gangster, like young gangster thug type wannabe guy, and Michael is just a, like, washed up,
burned out, yeah, fucking thief.
Like, yeah, he's like, and it's like I think they're very realistically drawn, but I kind of want to shelve the Trevor discussion until Tony gets to experience him. So I actually, like, for me at least, and I'm not through the whole, I've gotten Trevor, but I haven't actually finished that whole portion of his game yet. Like, so what happens is after the heist, there's a story tie that gives you control of Trevor, and you then have to kind of play as him for a while, and you can't go back to the other two. And I don't know what happens after that. I haven't gotten that far, but you will have to play as Trevor. And I actually think the missions that they have constructed for him are very, very well done. Very, very smart, but I don't know. I don't like playing as him. He disturbs me on many levels.
I like playing as Michael the most. I think he's the most relatable. He's basically like a, kind of like a Tony Soprano type character where he's just disappointed in his family and, you know, misses the old days and this and that, but.
Have you guys gone to his therapist again?
Like that? No.
I did go,
and then, like, you have options of, like,
yeah,
how
do.
To answer.
You can respond. Yeah. You'd be like, no, no, you're wrong.
Right. Or you're right. Like, and it's just really funny because it strikes me as how one of those sessions would actually go. At one point, like, when I brought him there, like, he's like, I think I'm having a breakthrough. And, like, the therapist gets up. He's like, oh, that's it. Not
yep,
too much
up.
For a day. He, like, ushers you out the door. And then you get, like, an email that he's upping his rates, like, 75% or something. It's crazy. Yeah, so that stuff's pretty funny. Like, I like that it's optional and you can get more character bits out of him by doing some of that stuff. I think Franklin is probably the most underdeveloped character, though, so.
Well, he kind of... His story kind of doesn't play into the main story as much as Trevor and Michael's, if that's not spoilery enough. I think he kind of, like, takes a backseat once Trevor shows up, because Trevor and Michael have history.
Right.
Put it that way.
Right, and Franklin is kind of, Michael has taken him under his wing as, like, his protege, but...
And Trevor will joke about that a lot, I don't know.
No, no. Well, I mean, I'm still in the Trevor area. I haven't actually gotten the three of them together yet. So
he pegs it right away, where he's like, "Oh, he's like the son you never had," you know, blah blah blah. You know, totally figures it out right away that, like, you know, Michael was trying to help this guy and teach him, and of course, like, Trevor. That's the thing. I wonder if other people will give him credit, but, like, he's smart. Like, he picked up on that right away. You know. And just start making fun of them.
Yeah, Tony, I think you're really gonna like the heist mission, though. Like,
it's fantastic.
Especially since there's even different ways to approach.
I'm
doing
guessing,
the setup stuff.
I'm guessing you took the more interesting way, though.
I went quietly or smartly, Lester puts it. Yeah. But like even there, like I actually fucked up the first time. Is like there's a couple things that you need to get for Lester in preparing for this, and I screwed up the first time on one of them, and ended up like breaking what I needed to get. But I tried it a different way, you know, when I restarted that mission, and like it totally worked. And it was like, wow, that's cool, because normally in these games, there's one way to do it. It's like normally kill everybody, get away from the cops, and hide. Like in this, that's not always, while you can do it that way, that's not always the best way to do things.
True.
I think it's a really good game.
Anything you guys did outside of like main story that you like really enjoyed, like something that not like optional that you found really fun?
I've been towing cars
for money.
That's not really fun either. No, for that's so dumb. It's like there's this lady Tanya, and it's implied that Franklin knows her boyfriend.
I think Franklin used to be together or something.
Right. Or yeah.
I think they went to school together or something.
Yeah, but now she's like a crack hoe or something. And, yeah. But he kind of like feels bad. And it's like, it actually plays very much into that culture. Like that inner city kind of culture where it's like when one of them starts to get bad, and it's a stereotype. The whole game is just filled with stereotypes. But where somebody in like inner city culture starts to do better for themselves, like people expect things from them. So Tanya is kind of like putting it on, like putting a guilt trip on Franklin for making better for himself. And he keeps getting drawn back into her, like helping her and her boyfriend out by doing these tow truck missions. I haven't finished that storyline, but that's like, it's a completely separate storyline that plays out outside of the main quest. You don't have to do it at all. It's just there. And, you know, there is some character progression. Like you do learn about, you know, Franklin and his past and his interaction with this woman and with her boyfriend and stuff.
See, I only did the first one of that where it was, you know, you go and do the tow job because her boyfriend's like out doing drugs or whatever.
Yeah, the last one I did, like she actually just calls you and her boyfriend's gone missing. And I think there's one more that I can do, but she calls you. You actually just go get the tow truck yourself instead of her going with you this time. And the mission actually is that there's a car broken down on train tracks. And you need to get there before the train gets there. So you're like trying to hook up the tow truck to the car as this train is like barreling towards it. And I got it off just in time. So that was kind of fun. Which made like that tow truck mission, which is actually rather boring, just driving and backing into a car and lowering the tow and then bringing it to a location. That's actually kind of dull and mundane, but this, you know, made it way more interesting.
Yeah. What about you, Tony? Have you done any, like, optional shit that you enjoy?
I mean, I did the first tow truck mission. I guess the one of the random events I went by, there was this woman claiming that someone was beating someone up. I was on my way to Lester's house. This was like right by Lester's house. So she flags you down as you're driving by. And they like ambush you. It was like straight out of Red Dead. like exactly the same mission. I'm like, oh, I know exactly what's going to happen here.
Yeah.
But there were lots of cash laying around on the ground, which was helpful.
It's funny that you say that because I was going to bring up something that I'm worried about in terms of the story, so I don't know if I could say it or not. But I worry that the story is going to play out very similar to Red Dead. I don't know if that gives away anything, but.
Wait. Well, I know, because you're speculating. You don't know yet, so.
Well, have you met anybody from the government yet in the game?
I have. Tony hasn't.
Yeah, so okay.
Let's leave it for next time.
Yeah, I'm just worried that it's going to have the same outcome in the end. If you remember the ending of Red Dead.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, I don't know how much that guy plays into things, so.
Pretty heavily. Like, you're basically their bitch. And you cry like a baby.
I do.
But most fun I've had, like, outside of the story is, like, I think last night and the night before, like, once I got bored with doing a story, like, I just started driving. But instead of just driving on roads, I tried to drive on not roads. Like, just try to drive over a mountain, shit like that. And I got my car stuck a couple times, like, against trees and stuff. Like, going down a mountain. I died a couple times. But I did, like, I don't know, right outside the city, like, northwest side of the city, like, in a suburb right before the desert, I went into a cul-de-sac, and I go driving to the back of the cul-de-sac, and there's, like, this big-ass ramp that goes over, like, a highway, and I'm like, I just went flying, like, a couple hundred feet through the air, and I'm like, fuck yeah, and, like, stunt jump 1 of 50 discovered. I'm like, holy shit. So I've been doing, like, some of that when I'm kind of just, like, bored with going through missions and whatnot.
Apparently there are a bunch of collectibles, too. I had no idea there were collectibles.
I have not found one yet.
One of my friends found a, like, a piece to, like, a confession to a murder.
Huh.
And there's like 50 pieces.
This almost sounds like once I finish the main story, that it's like a guide game. It's like,
yeah.
What else did they hide in here? Let me like look through like a game guide or something to. Cause I'm sure there's like a ton of crap that we haven't even scratched the surface to.
Right.
I haven't seen like I wonder how is there wait. Is there a guide for it?
Yeah, there is. Yeah, they tried to sell it to me when I picked up my copy.
It's gotta be gigantic.
It's big. Dude. Yeah, it's a big, big guide.
But yeah, that's my thoughts on it so far. I love it. Game of the year!
There's a very good chance of that.
Yeah.
I mean, especially for the way we handle things, so... finding us to agree.
Are you telling me that U4 does not have a chance?
Probably not. No. One like there is. You might be able to get Fozzie to play it, but you have zero chance to have Jeff playing it at all. So
that's true.
Was this on PS3?
No. Not unless they made a controller friendly version of that game.
They made a controller-friendly version of XCOM, and Jeff didn't play that.
Yeah, true.
So it's too late.
This game is really good.
It's good. It is good. Not game of the year.
It's game of the year.
I mean, right now, I definitely see GTA as the front runner, but
that's what you guys said about L.A. Noire. Remember how that went?
I don't believe we said that about L.A. Noire.
And L.A. Noire was in May when nothing else had been released either. You gotta remember that.
We did our 6 month, looking through half the year.
Right. At that point, there was nothing else that had been released.
Right.
Like, it was the game of the year at that point.
Right.
I think, like, there's a lot more competition this year.
There is a lot. Like, the first half of the year was pretty stacked.
Yeah.
Tomb Raider. Fucking Bioshock.
Tomb Raider, Bioshock, The Last of Us, even like, I mean, I'm not a huge fan of it, but arguments can be made for all three of those games.
Yeah.
And we're still only three quarters of the way through the year. Like, there are other big games coming.
I swear to God, if you guys go for some launch title.
I don't think it's even possible. Like, you guys wouldn't have played it.
Right. Like, everyone played it but Jeff. Like,
right.
Rise is awesome.
Right. Like, I mean, if it really was that good, maybe. One, I don't think we'd be able to get Jeff to agree to it. But.
Right.
And while I think these launch titles would be pretty decent, they're launch titles.
Yeah.
I mean, there's still the fact that the rest of the games out this year have had 8 years, seven, 8 years of developers being able to pull the best out. Like, we are getting the best games on these systems right now. I think they're some of the best looking games, some of the best playing games, some of the best written games. This, like, over the last, like, 18 months or so. So it's going to be hard for games that are coming out on new systems to beat that.
Yeah. Next year. Watch Dogs.
I have hopes.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how high they are, but the hopes are there.
I've heard weird things about that game, so.
I think it'll be pretty awesome, but I think that any game that comes out this year is going to probably pale in comparison to what we got out of GTA. At least I'm not even done with it. Like, I'm maybe halfway, you know.
Yeah, you said, what, 36%?
That's usually about halfway in GTA, you know. Usually I finish around 66%.
Yeah, that's about where I finish, so. It's such a big fucking game.
It really is.
I put a ton of hours into it already, too, like. And I don't, like, normally after, you know, you put X amount of hours into a game, you're like, all right. Like, I don't want it to be over anytime soon.
Yeah.
Either, and I know it's not there yet, and I know I'm not anywhere close, but I also don't feel like I need to get to the end. Like, I'm just enjoying playing the game.
Yeah, like, I'm with you on that. Like, a lot of times, like, after you get used to, like, when you first start a GTA game, you're just, like, marveling at the world.
Right.
And then you're just kind of like, all right, whatever, you're just, let's get to the next mission. Like, with this, just, like, I turn it on, I know I'm going to have fun. Like, I don't care. Maybe I'll do story stuff. Maybe I'll just, you know, go golfing or just stumble upon something, you know?
And there has been some, like, mundane missions.
Yes.
That I've played, but I think for the most part, like, especially the main story-based missions, very well put together. Like, just great set pieces.
Yeah.
That kind of make you want to go to the next thing.
The missions with Michael and his family are hilarious.
Yeah.
They're mundane stuff. There's nothing in them that...
Just well, yeah. Well written and put together. Yeah. Like, just entertaining.
Yeah, like, you know, like, you go on a bike ride with your son. Right, it's like, there's not a lot going on in the gameplay, but because you like the characters and what they're saying and shit while you're doing it, it makes it fun.
Right, or even, like, the first time you meet Michael's son, the yacht chase,
That's the second time you meet him.
Right, yeah, because you break into his house.
He's actually at the dealership.
Oh, is he? Is he the one?
He's the one buying the car.
Okay. I listened to that entire conversation. I didn't put the two together though. So yeah, like the second time you meet him, he's playing that Call of Duty type game.
Yeah.
Just fucking hysterical as well. But yeah, so when you finally go, he sold Michael's boat. All that really is a standard car chase. Except because the writing is so well done and it just, you're chasing after this boat and they've done this great thing with the cinematic viewpoint and it just looks and feels different than a general car chase in GTA.
But the whole thing where, you know, I think it was his son is like hanging off the side of it, like hanging from the mast or whatever. Like,
yeah, you have to,
it was really exciting.
You have to drive up and catch him.
That was exciting for, like, you know, a non-main story mission. Oh, I guess it kind of was, because it sets up the relationship between Michael and Franklin. But,
right.
You know, like, it wasn't, like, one of the big, like, set-piece, like, heist missions. It was still a blast.
I do have to question, like, even there, like, and somebody brought this up with Franklin. That boy does some dumb, he makes some really dumb decisions.
Franklin?
Yeah.
Franklin or his actual son?
No, Franklin.
Like is, that, it, is yeah. it him or is it he's just following Lester and then he's like, Lester, you idiot.
Lamar, right?
Or Lamar, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
Lamar.
No, but it's like, so there's like, Lamar comes up and you know, they do that kidnapping. It's like, and then Lamar shows up again with somebody else and they go do this, they're going to a drug deal or something. And it's like, why do you keep following him?
Right.
Like, and then, like, the whole thing with Michael, he's like, he goes to Michael's house, which, yeah, I mean, it's a little bit sketchy that Michael right. would be like, yeah, you could come back, whatever. But then he goes for this ride with Michael to go get their boat, and Michael tells him to get out of the car and jump onto the boat.
Like, sure, people I've never met before.
Right, this is fucking insane. Like, this kid is stupid.
He's ambitious, that's all.
Yeah, but it just comes off as, like, completely retarded. Which is weird, because so much of the rest of the game, like, it seems like they made smart decisions with. It was just to get Michael and Franklin together.
Right.
Franklin had to make some really stupid moves. Yeah, so that's GTA. You been doing anything else this week, Jeff?
Gameplay? Nah. In fact, all I've been doing is working and coming home and playing GTA for like 6 hours straight. So,
it's understandable.
It's really just about it. And
although, I think right now you could turn AMC on and be watching Breaking Bad from the beginning.
Here's the funny thing. I moved in this place, my old buddy, it's his house or whatever. He's been watching the final season with me, right?
Right.
So, today we're like playing Frisbee and fucking cooking brats and shit after work, and he disappears, like go in, he's watching the pilot. You know, like he'd never watched it before, and he's like sitting there and he's like, all of a sudden he's watching the second episode. So I think he's like completely sucked in.
So he's going to be a zombie by Sunday as he's yeah. going to watch like 78 hours or 80 hours or whatever, however many. It's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, all the way till 9 o'clock on Sunday. So nearly 5 days straight of Breaking Bad. That's crazy.
That's a lot of Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
It's too bad I couldn't convince him before he watched, like, these last 7 episodes with me, because he knows too much. You know what
right,
I mean? Like,
yeah.
he knows right. way too much. But, like, you go back, and I was watching, like, some of the pilot with him and some of the second episodes, like, this show is, like, really funny right off the bat. Like, it didn't get more, like, it had always had, like, really dark stuff in it, but it was very, I love the way the pilot ends with he fucking bangs Skyler. He like turns her to her side and like does her from behind. She's like, Walter, is that you?
Yeah, it's, I mean, I think the first couple seasons are actually pretty comedic. It's not until it's the end of
Gus.
Two. Well, yeah,
yeah
when Gus comes in. But is it the end of two where he lets the girl die?
Yeah, Gus and Jane, like
yeah.
that, it's like a turning
point. That's where
show.
it starts getting really dark, and not in a bad way, it's like, it's no longer kind of this, Walter becomes really dark at that point.
And now, like, the way things are at the end, there's like almost no room for jokes, like, Saul will crack one here and there, but like.
Right, but even then it's like he's like.
It's like a. Yeah.
He's trying to cut through the thickness of everything.
Yeah, like it's...
He's like, just like, alright, I need to say something, and I don't know what to say because I'm a goofy motherfucker.
I really wonder how they wrap that up, though, in an hour next week or this Sunday, because it's like...
It's crazy, right?
Like, it kind of feels like it climaxed 2 episodes ago, and then, like, last episode was kind of a bit of an epilogue, but there's still so much to fucking wrap up. You know, Jesse, Todd, Skyler, fucking what happens to Walter, like.
You just kill everyone.
There's gonna be a bloodbath, yeah. There's no doubt.
Somebody's going to die. Who knows who?
I was pretty surprised about the death this week.
And, yeah.
Quant had to die really badly.
He is
the creepiest motherfucker on the planet, dude.
So wrong.
He is like, Aaron described it great to me. He's like, he's perfectly normal on the outside, but on the inside, he is like just a fucking sociopath, you know? But he's like got, he's very polite and.
Right, he seems like this mild-mannered, like I'm a nice guy.
Even when he's doing terrible things to people, like, he doesn't ever seem to, like, really relish it. He's just like, just so you know, it's not personal, like. But then he kind of does relish it, like, he brings Jesse food, and he's, like, looking down at Jesse, like, lights up a cigarette, he's, like, watching Jesse eat his food, and he's like, ha ha ha, my little prisoner. Like, I don't know, yeah, so creepy, dude.
Fucked up, man. That show is really good.
They said, too, like, that Todd was going to play, a big part in the fifth season. I had no idea how big a part he was going to be, you know. Or how about the scene in the bedroom with the baby where he's, like, talking to Skyler and all you see is his eyes.
Yeah. That whole scene was really creepy.
Oh, God, man. He needs to die. He needs to die very horrible death.
I think that a lot of people are going to die on Sunday, so.
It's going to be great. Oh, I can't wait.
Tony, what have you been up to this week?
Well, I got my new iPhone.
Okay. iPhone
5. Get excited. The first thing I downloaded was Plants vs. Zombies 2.
Yeah.
Because I loved the first game.
Yeah.
And it's not the only reason I got an iPhone.
I hope not.
It's up there.
But it's up there. You know, that couple months without Plants vs. Zombies 2 was a gaping hole in my life. So I've been playing a lot of that. That game is awesome in every way possible. I can't believe it's free.
Right?
The pay stuff is obvious, but so much of it you don't need.
Right. It's like if you want the snow pea shooter, sure, give us $4.
Right.
Which that seems really pricey, but okay, they didn't charge me anything for the game. Like if I really want the snow pea shooter, here's $4. You guys deserve it.
Right.
And then you can buy the unlocks or whatever if you
right.
Don't
have Instead of having to like grind for them. Right. But even then, I mean, when you're grinding, like the game's really fun. If the game wasn't fun, then the grinding would be problematic, but
exactly.
And of course, most of the grinding is just playing through the same level, but with a different like challenge in mind.
Right. So it's. I don't know. For me, like I don't feel that it's really grinding because I'm getting something new out of it.
Right.
Yeah. It's taking place on the same level, but they've given me a new challenge to go do to get that star.
Right.
I don't feel like I have to replay over and over and over again. Like, I'm getting something different.
Yeah.
I own it.
You don't
or
like
I downloaded it. I downloaded it the day it came out.
And it didn't work.
And I have not played it.
You should. So
oh,
good.
Man, you totally should play it.
I deleted it.
It's so addicting.
You deleted it.
I'm out of room on my phone. I only have like an 8 gig iPhone 4, and like the pictures and video on there, I have like, I don't know, fucking 700 pictures and like 50 videos that filled up my whole phone. Like if I want to do a video now, I have to like delete something.
You probably have to delete something if you want to update the OS.
Yeah. Probably.
Right.
Which I have not done either.
I didn't like it at first. It's growing on me.
Someone showed me it, like, one of the people who lives downstairs, he was, like, showing me it, and, like the whole, like, swiping up, I think, to close an app, like...
You don't have to swipe up.
Whatever it is, like, it was different than just, like, double-clicking the home button or whatever. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
Like, if you double-click the home button, you could, like, close apps that are running in the background. Like, it's different now where, like, you... I think you still double-click, but it, like, brings up, like, a... I don't know, dude. Don't even ask me to explain this. It's fucking... It's different. But, I don't know. It didn't seem like anything, like, where I'd be upset or, like, like, oh my god,
that,
amazing.
Like, that you need to have it. Right.
It's just like, all right, well, that's different now. It's like, would they, like, everything else, like YouTube, they'll change every 6 months completely, and you're like, how do I find my subscriptions? And then you get used to it, and then like, when they change it again, you're like, god damn them for changing things on me.
Yeah, I mean, aesthetically, I didn't like it at first, but now it's growing on me a bit. I don't hate it.
That's a sign.
Yeah.
Another thing I've been playing is Rise of Venice.
Okay, that game looks pretty.
It is pretty. It's Jeff's favorite game. It's a commodity trading sim. So basically, you start off, you're like a miner, like from a miner family in the state of Venice, and you have like a ship. And you take your ship and you start sailing around the Mediterranean, like trading goods and trying to make as much money as possible so you can get more powerful and, you know, make more money so you can get more powerful and make more money and get more powerful and make more money.
So you can be really, really powerful and have lots
of money. That's right. That's pretty much all. That's the whole game. It's really similar to, out of the same, more Calypso games, what is it?
Port Royale.
Port Royale 3. This is basically a direct sequel.
Okay.
But of course, the Port Royale games are all set in the Caribbean, and this is in the Mediterranean. So it basically just changes the setting. The games play almost exactly the same. It wouldn't surprise me if they were on exactly the same engine with very few upgrades. There are some slight changes. I'm not sure that they're necessarily for the better. In Port Royale 3, you could trade anything you wanted from the very beginning. Now, the commodities you're actually allowed to trade are determined by what level you are, which is kind of weird to me. Like, it's just strange that you wouldn't be allowed to buy cloth because you're not, like, famous enough or whatever. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. Like,
seems really weird. Like, if you have the money to buy it, why wouldn't somebody sell it to you?
I'm sorry, I don't know who you are. I will not give you this cloth.
I just want to buy it because this is my job.
Like, they do tie that in. Like, the leveling up is a pretty cool thing where you have to have, like, a certain number of ships and a certain amount of wealth. And then you actually have to go back to Venice and, like, put yourself up to the High Council of Venice, and they'll, like, vote on whether you should be promoted or not, okay. Which is kind of a cool thing. But I'm not sure it, like, bears any basis to reality. It's just a sort of, like, gamey thing they threw in there for leveling up to add, like, a political element. But I don't know. Fun. It plays a lot smoother than Port Royale did. You actually had to, like, reload the game every time you went to a port in Port Royale.
That's weird.
It went fast, but now you can just kind of zoom into any port you want, so everything is a lot more fluid. Which means it plays a lot smoother and a lot quicker, which is good. Alright. But yeah, really similar game. Really, really, really similar. I haven't had any Naval Combat yet, but I've heard rumors that it's exactly the same.
I think I might skip that one.
Yeah. Or get Port Royale 3. I'm sure it's pretty cheap right now.
I might actually own that. I think I might have picked that up in some sort of Steam sale at some point.
Right.
Along with like the 7,000 other games. Anything else?
That's all I played.
That's it.
It's a lot.
Yeah, it is, actually. We've all played a lot of GTA, so. I played Pac-Man.
Oh, God.
I saw.
I played about
$10 on Steam.
Yeah, I played it for like an hour. Half hour yesterday, half hour today, which is all I played in the last 2 days. I am currently the, like, 300 out of 3,000 people on the leaderboard. I've only played 2 of the maps so far, so that number will rise very quickly. That game's still really good, but it's very much just Pac-Man.
It's the same game as before.
Yeah, there's a couple new maps, which I believe is DLC for it on Xbox and PS3. There's a new course called Mountain, which is obviously like it's shaped like a mountain. So it's a vertical type map with a lot of like right angles going upwards into a peak. And I haven't played Highway 2 or Championship 3 yet, but yeah, it's still Pac-Man. Game's still really good, but haven't changed a whole lot. The music's still really good. It took me a little bit, like at first, when I jumped into it last night after installing it, which doesn't take long at all because it's not a very big file, I felt really rusty, but after a couple, like a couple run-throughs, it comes right back. So, yeah, Pac-Man. I also played a little bit of Lego City Undercover. I'm trying to clear out some of my older games.
I thought you'd beaten that already.
I beat the DS version.
Oh.
Which is the prequel.
To the Wii U version?
Yeah, to the Wii U version come out first. So then the 3DS version came out like a month later. Plays very similarly on both. I guess it's very much like the current Lego games, because they're kind of open world, although this is very much far more open, but it's still very structured. You go to one spot for a mission and then they send you to a second spot. It's not like GTA where there's multiple missions to go choose to do. There's a very linear story path for this and very little player choice in how it's done. At one point, I almost quit because a lot of the times you need to get these super bricks, or they're called super builds, and you need a bunch of special bricks to build them. And some of the builds on them are like 30, 40,000 for these bricks. And it's not the coins, it's not the little chips you have. You use those to buy other characters and upgrades for Chase. And I was like, I don't give a shit. Like, it's not a bad game, it's just, I don't really care. It's just not that engaging. Especially with GTA sitting there, so.
Well, yeah, I was gonna say, there's that. I mean, to me, Lego City compared to, like, other Lego games, I thought there was more going on just because of the open world, you know, kind of GTA type design, but yeah.
Yeah, but it's like, there's an illusion of it. Like, there's this giant open world, but it's just an illusion. Like, there's actually nothing really going on. I mean, I guess there are, like, you know, the special bricks to find, but that's really...
Oh, there's all... Dude, yeah. There's, like, fucking collectathon porn going on there, which is just, like, shit everywhere, but...
But none of it really means anything.
No, I mean, to me, when I played it at the time, like, when did it come out? Like, March? There was nothing else to play.
Oh, especially not on Wii U, like, I mean,
yeah. At all. So, like, it was good, yeah, but I sold it right away because I was like, I will never, ever play this game again. Like, it's solid if you like Lego games, but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I kind of wish there was, like, a two-player aspect to it. Maybe there is, I just haven't really looked into it. I don't think so, though, because I think I would rather just play it with my son like we do the other Lego games.
Yeah, but you can't.
Yeah, I don't really care about finishing this game, though. I would rather play Pikmin, because I need to play some of that Pikmin before Zelda next week.
Have you played it at all?
No, it's just sitting there.
Fuck, dare you. I don't even know what to say right now.
I don't know why either. I will play Pikmin and have a report for next week.
But no, don't do it, Chris. Yeah. Think of all the Grand Theft Auto you have to play.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Are you going to have time for Pikmin? I don't think you do.
I don't know. You're right, Tony. I'm not sure about that.
You gotta think of it as a game too. That like you can't just try it out for like an hour. You gotta play the game. Like you gotta play through it.
See, that's another reason not to start it now.
Right.
It's only about 10 hours.
Yeah, but I got Zelda on Friday.
Is that the release date? Like the retail release date?
October 4th.
Yeah. No, I was just, and I shouldn't be doing this, but I was looking at a review for it, and I'm like, oh god, I want it.
I mean, it's...
Unless I'm not done with GTA.
I don't think looking at a review of Wind Waker HD is really going to impact your opinion of Wind Waker HD.
It could, like, just because you're tempted to, like, steal ideas, you know what I mean? Like, oh yeah, that's what's great about it, or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I could see that, but you're also talking about a game that
it is
what, a 10-year-old game or something like that at this point? Like, it's old. Like, it's an old game.
And I know how I feel
about Wind Waker, right.
Yeah, someone, you know, what they have to say about Wind Waker is not going to change how I feel about that game.
Exactly. I mean, it's different if it was, like, a brand new Zelda, and I think an argument could be made there. I think in this case, though, we're talking about a 10-year-old game that they've made pretty.
By the way, if I lock down Link Between Worlds review, is that me, or do we even discuss it?
If you want it.
I'm taking
it. I've never heard of it, so.
That's the sequel to A Link to the Past, which is coming to 3DS on the same fucking day as Super Mario 3D World.
Oh, is it really?
And on the same fucking day as the Xbox One. Yeah,
wow.
On that day. And then thrown in there, and I feel so bad for it because the game looks so much fun, is Tearaway on Vita. Nobody is going to fucking play that game because if you're into that type of stuff, you have Zelda and Mario coming out on the same day. And if you're not into that type of stuff, the fucking Xbox One is also releasing, or you just got the PS4. So, like...
Wow, dude. That's a crazy, crazy day.
Yeah.
And the thing that sucks for me is, like, I'm going to be honest, I love Zelda to death, but I'm going to be more interested to see what they've done with Mario and Wii U. Damn it! Damn it all. I'm still taking it.
Yep. Both of them.
Link to the Past is my favorite game of all time, so I'm going to do the review for the sequel.
Alright. Sounds good. Yeah, so I played Lego City, played Pac-Man, played GTA. I think that's it.
Alright.
Yeah. All you need. And Pikmin.
I haven't played Pikmin yet. I thought we just discussed that.
You need to play.
Oh, well, yes. Need to play that. I saw Prisoners too, but this isn't a movie podcast, so.
It's true.
Did you like it?
That movie is disturbing. As a parent, that movie is disturbing.
I heard it kind of like goes for broke and it kind of wallows in really fucked up shit.
Yeah. It's a dark, dark, dark movie. I liked it though. It's pretty well acted. There's some moments of the way Jake Gyllenhaal's character solves the mystery or he ties things together. Is very contrived. It's very, like, very cliche. Like, he has this drawing. He's very angry. Something has happened. He goes to his desk. He beats up his keyboard and tosses all his paperwork on the floor. And as he's sitting there moping, he looks down. And in one of the pictures from the evidence, it matches the drawing that he had. And he, two and two go together. And it's like,
They had fallen on the floor next to each other.
Yeah, just about. It's like, this, like, and like, sometimes that stuff just passes right over your head. Like, it's like, and you think about it later, like, I saw it coming. Like, it's like, this is how he's got, this is so stupid. It's like, this spoils the movie, because the movie is really well done up until this dumb portion of it. But outside of that, yeah. not fun to watch. Actually, very difficult to watch as a parent, but good movie. Kicking off good movie season in style. So,
speaking of that, one last movie note. Curse of Chucky. Have you heard of this movie?
No.
There's a new Chucky movie.
I heard something about a new Child's Play movie, which I guess it's now just Chucky, right?
No, it's called Curse of Chucky. Like, why? Well,
I mean, they've stopped calling them Child's Play, though. Like, they're
yeah,
no longer Child's Play movies.
They wanted to do a reboot that was going to be, like, ultra serious, and I guess that didn't quite get off the ground. Like, this is the guy, Don Mancini, and whoever else who made the original. Mm-hmm. But they also were doing like a continuation of the Chucky series on the side that did get made as like a straight to video type thing. I'm looking at Rotten Tomatoes, not a ton of reviews, okay, because it's like straight to video. 100% fresh critics, 96% audience.
Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I know. I'm like, I'm going to
now. See this now. I need to watch it.
It's probably a video on demand or whatever, you know?
Yeah, I'll do that this weekend. Could fit on our horror movie list. Yeah. Anyway, do we got news, Tony?
We do have news. I'm gonna start with something that's sort of tangentially related to video games. The website Popular Science, in response to a host of, let's say, immature comments made in its comment section, plus a scientific study that indicated that comments on a website could actually directly affect someone's opinion on the articles on the site, decided to ban comments from its website. So now if you go to Popular Science, you cannot say a word about the articles you read. You can only read them and keep your thoughts to yourself.
I wonder if we'll see some video game sites do that.
I know that GameSpot is in the process of revising their policy. Apparently it's some sort of three strikes and you're out rule now.
Huh.
I'm not sure that works, though. Like, the only problem with that kind of stuff, I mean, can you ban their IP address? Like,
right, like what's to stop them from going and creating another account?
Right. And I don't think that you solve any problems with that. And I think a lot of sites are looking at that. YouTube just recently changed how they do comments. I don't know. It seems like there's a lot of vitriol that builds up in these websites. Like, I've gotten to the point now I can't read the comments on anything.
I'll scroll through them. But, like,
I get trapped
in them. It has to drive traffic.
Yeah, I get trapped in them. Like, I just start reading them, and it's just like, this is so stupid, and I want to comment on the comment.
Right.
Not actually on the content of the article, which I think defeats the purpose, right? Like, I kind of just want to call these people out for being stupid.
Right. One of the things Popular Science said in their article was that the comments tended to solidify people's opinions and make them more antagonistic. In regard to issues that they didn't really care about before. So they're scientifically proven fact that comments are bad for you.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Like, I think the word, if you ever go to CNN, never, ever, ever go to the comments. It's like a deluge of stupidity.
You know where you also shouldn't read comments at? N4G. Like, on any of their big articles? The commentary there is just so stupid.
Makes me cry a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, on some level, I mean, we run a website. And
right.
We encourage comments. But yeah, I mean,
even on our site, like, you figure like 1 in 4 comments is from a complete moron.
Yeah. Which is a shame.
Right.
I don't know. What else we got?
Rockstar, probably in response to some stuff that happened with EA and SimCity and
Blizzard and Diablo 3 has announced that they're expecting the GTA Online launch to be a bit rough.
So, I figured as much.
Basically, they've said that this sort of thing is inevitable in a massive open-world game, and there will surely be a lot more unexpected oddities like this in the online world next week. So, I never expect these games to work at launch, but a lot of people seem to.
No.
What the hell is Jeff doing?
I don't know.
Jeff, what are you doing? What the hell are you doing?
I think he's talking to his roommate. Just listen in for a second. Oh, no. Jeff back there? Sounded like he came back.
They're talking about some girl.
Yeah. That was over at Charlie's.
Ooh. It's a nice... I like Charlie. He's a good guy.
Yeah. But she's living in Charlie's.
Oh. That's her. That's the winner. They got, like, banged. Oh, they banged.
Charlie and the girl, or...
Maybe.
Oh, the girl at Charlie's who was banged.
Right.
Gained some weight.
That's too bad.
Well, a little bit.
I wonder if it was from the banging.
Possibly.
It must be an emergency situation in Jeff Land.
Yes. Sounds very important.
Clearly that girl at Charlie's is,
Now I wonder if Charlie's is a bar.
It could be.
And it
could just gain weight from drinking at the bar, maybe.
Right. And
or they have really good nachos or something.
Possibly as well. I mean, or wings or fries.
Maybe she's going blind too because she doesn't recognize
him. He does keep. I'm confused as if Charlie's is a bar or not, though.
Wipe the out of her eyes.
Like, so is Charlie's a bar or is that somebody you know and this fat girl is staying in?
Oh, you guys can hear everything?
Oh, yeah.
Is there a way to mute?
Evidently not how we did it.
Wait, there is. Wait, is there? Yeah, okay. Jeff. Never mind. Next time I'll figure it out. But
oh, no.
I was fisting. I had my fist wrapped around my microphone. I thought I would.
After the conversation we just heard, you probably shouldn't say I've been fisting. Just kidding.
Yeah, you guys heard the whole story?
A lot of it. We tried to piece it together, but.
Basically, there was fucking going on.
So we got that.
And then, like, you ever, like, bang someone and you ran into them, like, years later, and everyone had to play it cool?
No, they're all dead. Wait, what?
They're all dead.
I think I understand what you're saying, yes.
It's one of those situations, I think.
Alright. Got ya.
Anyway, sorry about that. I didn't know that was, like, coming through the recording here. I said BRB.
Yeah, no, we got that.
You said a lot more than that when they tell you.
I said nothing. It wasn't me.
So what else we got in news?
Let's see. So there was a meeting at EA. This is probably the dumbest story of the week. During which an EA executive, talking about Plants vs. Zombies 2, said, and I quote, as a joke, Apple gave us a truckload of money to delay the Android version. Apparently, people quoted this story and made it into a real thing. So both EA and Apple were forced to release statements denying they had any sort of monetary relationship over the release of this game.
One, why would you say that? And two, who the fuck cares?
Well, here's the thing, though. He said it in a private EA meeting.
Oh, so how did it even get out?
That's an interesting question. Someone should be fired.
Yes.
Assuming they can figure out who that was.
Also, who the fuck cares?
Right. Who reports that as news? That's not news.
This shit happens all the time.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah.
I agree.
That's a shame. Like, EA and Apple have nothing to issue statements over. And now they're, like, trying to cover it up, which just seems stupid.
Right.
Just go, who cares?
Right.
Or leave it be.
They're like, they gave me all the money, bitches.
Because here's the thing, when it comes out on Android, people are going to not buy it, because it's free, but they're going to get it and play it and buy shit on the store as well. And EA is still going to make a truckload of money.
Right. So is Apple.
Right. And Apple's making it on the iOS store, and it's stupid. People are dumb.
They really are. More dumb. Valve. It's Valve week. Did you guys know it's Valve week?
A little bit. Underwhelmed.
On Friday of last week, Valve announced that they would have three announcements this week.
Well, the first two suck.
The first was an announcement of an operating system, free, designed for use in your living room. On what? I don't know.
On nothing.
But apparently they have an operating system now, Linux-based, free, that you can use on consoles in your living room. So enjoy. It can do lots of stuff. We don't know what that stuff is yet, but it will be able to do it.
Yeah. Tell us about the second announcement.
The second announcement is actually a beta test. So Valve is planning a lineup of Steam machines, presumably using this operating system. And they're asking people to apply to be beta testers. They're tossing out 300 prototypes.
Yeah, 300.
300. This apparently was worth an announcement to the entire world.
Yes. You have 5 million users on Steam. You are going to test it with 300 people.
Yes.
And I get it. It's hardware, and it's probably not cheap hardware, but this seems like you're blowing smoke at your ass.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Having read both the announcement on Monday and then the one on Wednesday, it is devoid of any substantial information.
Right.
Like, they talk about streaming, but don't actually talk about how that streaming works. Like, are the games that stream, because they're saying all 3,000 plus games that are on Steam will be available to be played on the Steam machine or
It sounded like you actually, it would stream the game from your PC.
Right. So you still
need. Which is useless.
Right.
I have a USB kit or a USB, a HDMI cable. I can hook my fucking laptop up to the TV and do that if I want to.
Exactly. So where's the benefit of me buying a Steam machine? Like, I just don't see the purpose in buying a console that runs the Steam OS.
If you have to have a laptop or whatever to
hooked up to your TV or to stream it from your PC or laptop to this Steam box or Steam machine. I like Steam box better.
I was hoping they would announce Steam Blocks.
Steam
which box. Is a series of new hats for Lego men.
Would have been great. I don't know. I do kind of like the idea of they're not specifically getting into the hardware business. I mean, they're doing these prototypes, but it sounds like, I mean, and this could just be me misinterpreting the information, the very little information that they gave, but it sounds like they're going to do these prototype machines, but other manufacturers will be able to, like, release these Steam machines out running the OS to users, like, you know, designed however they want. But none of this shit sounds cheap. And to compete against Microsoft or Sony or Nintendo in the living room, you need something that's affordable that will fit under your television. And I just don't see anything cheap coming from that. Also, I already have a PC that I can, as you do too, Tony, like that we can plug into our televisions.
Right.
So we can already utilize big picture mode. Like, what is the purpose of this?
I'll buy it.
No, you won't.
You lie.
Probably won't. I'm not even buying an X-Bone or a fucking... Do people still say that? Is that a word?
I say it all the time. They actually, Microsoft, was it last week, bought X-Bone.com?
They did. And it was like the week before or the week before that, Major Nelson said that I don't know if this was just him stating it or if it was like an official reaction to the term X-Bone, but he stated that he found it insulting or something along those lines. Like, you need to own that shit. Like,
right.
You need to take control of X-Bone and just own it. Like,
X-Bone it.
Right. Don't show any weakness.
Right.
Like, you're just allowing your critics to. It's like, don't say that. Right. Don't say that. It hurts my feelings. So now we're going to say it more. Of course, then they went and purchased xbone.com, so maybe their whole purpose was, don't say that. It hurts our feelings. And now everyone's saying xbone, and they've gone and purchased.
Ours.
Right, and they've gone and purchased the URL, and it's like, everyone's saying xbone.
I mean, I love Xbox. I love Xbox One. I love the idea. I'm owning xbone. I love it. I say it all the time. I'm all over that.
All right. Well, I'm not buying the X-Bone. At least not right away.
You're not buying the PS4 right away either, so.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not buying. No, I'm not saying, like, against Microsoft. I'm just saying.
Right.
Honestly, if I had to buy one, if I had to buy one off the bat, Dead Rising 3 kind of wins out.
Well, right. If you're basing it on software, I think at launch, Microsoft actually has a better lineup.
Yeah. I will agree.
Who knows what happens later on down the line, but I'm still confused by Sony's lineup. Like, I mean, it's Killzone and Knack, right? Like,
and Drive Club is that one?
But they're giving Drive Club kind of away for free, so like, where there's no incentive to buy that at launch.
Well, it could be seen as something that comes with the machine. You know,
I guess.
Yeah, well, you buy this box, you get to play the Drive Club.
Yeah, I don't understand that. I'm confused.
It's okay. It's happened before.
Yeah. Often, so. any other craziness going on?
That was all I had.
That was it. Yeah, I didn't.
Oh, I missed so much.
Not really. Since we actually, like, as, you know, we listened to your conversation.
Yeah, we actually did a play-by-play analysis.
So you figure out basically what happened, like...
For the most part.
Well, we were trying to figure out what made her fat. That was,
He, like... I'm, like, in the garage, right? So, like, he was at, like, this dude's house across the alley. And he, like, comes walking in here and, like, gives me this look. I'm like, oh, he's drunk. And he's, like, gonna tell the story. He tells the story, and then after that, he's like, I don't care who the fuck hears it.
Now, is Charlie's the guy across the street?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's not a bar. Okay.
It's a dude's house. house. I actually delivered mail to him today, as well as our own mail. Funny story. I delivered our own mail, and I crumpled it all up in a tiny ball and threw it in the box. Because I'm a dick.
Like, here's our mail.
And for this guy, Charlie, I almost was going to write, fuck you, Charlie, on his mail, but I was like, maybe he won't know it's me, and he'll call the post office and complain, so I was like, never mind.
Yeah. That's one of those ones where you don't want to risk that.
It would have been funny. A month from now, it'll be funny. I'll do it a month from now.
Does that happen often? Like, that you could be assigned to your own neighborhood, or?
A lot of the guys, like, I'm covering this guy's route this week, and then, like, today I noticed, I went to this one apartment, it's his fucking, like, that was his apartment. So okay. I think a lot of guys, like, they've assigned
themselves their own routes.
To their own, like, their own neighborhood, yeah.
That's cool. Do we have any questions?
Not really. What do I got?
Well, Walter has a question for you. It seems really important, too.
Yeah. Will you go to the prom with me? Which I remember, like, wasn't there, like, an old, like, YouTube video with this little girl? Well, she's like, will you go to the prom with me?
Sure.
Y'all remember that?
That was scary.
It was like, it had like metal playing in the background. She's like, will you go to the prom with me? She's like, smile. High school girl. He could be referencing that, or he could just really want me to ask him to the prom, which I could do that.
Alright.
One of us would have to be in high school again, I think, right? Like, that's how that works.
Yeah, there is that. Oh, I guess, right? Like,
it'd be like the episode of...
he's asking a little early, though. Like, it's September. Like, is he ready to commit for that long?
Could break up by the time prom gets here.
Right, we're talking April, May.
It's like months.
If we go, he's paying the whole way. He's buying me my, like, fucking suit and all that and, like, the limo. And he's going to get me drunk, and then maybe.
I think if he does all that, you have to put out, though.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Oh, so you were agreeing to go to the prom. I'm going to the prom. Like, you're just setting up the...
trying to...
The after prom fireworks. Oh, there you go, Walt. Good luck with that. Evidently Justin wants to know who is the Walt in the crew. I believe he means Walter White.
Yeah.
Who's the Heisenberg here?
See, I'd have to say you because you're running shit. I'm the Jesse to your Walt. And I'm like, you have to like protect me, like you're a father figure.
Tony's Gus. We need to blow him up.
When we have to take.
Why are you trying to kill me? I don't understand.
Well, I mean, if we're all going to be Breaking Bad characters, everyone needs to die.
No.
I think he could be. Yeah, Tony could be the Gus. You could be the Walter. Although I like to think of myself as Walter in my own mind, but if in the dynamic of our Enterprise, I would say I'm very much the Jesse. I'm the lost son who needs guidance.
Although, I mean, yeah, Tony, you're too smart to be Saul, so.
Uh-oh. So I have to be a villain, I see.
Well, you either have to be a villain or you have to be Hank. They're both dead, so it's like. Hank lives longer.
After enough beers, I'm basically Walt Jr.
That's so wrong. I'm not going to touch that.
Me neither. I'm just going to throw it out there and let it hang.
Who would Fozzie be?
Fozzie would be Saul.
And who would Don be?
Don would be Lydia. I don't know.
Actually, you know what? I think Tony might be Todd.
Tony is a Todd.
Right?
There's your episode title right there. Tony is a Todd.
Sure.
Basically, a sociopath who, on the outside, is pretty normal and helpful and polite.
There's nothing wrong with being a sociopath.
Like, he'll kill your dog in front of you and be like, I'm sorry, I just had to do that.
It was for your own good.
You can see, like, why I had to do that, right? Just don't say anything or I'm going to kill you.
Oh, that scene in the baby's room was creepy.
It's fucking, I want to fucking strangle that motherfucker.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, check out the site. Not a lot of content up this week, but,
GTA, baby! I mean, we're playing it.
We are, actually. We've been playing it, next week. Some content going up, including Jeff, my, final breaking back and forth.
Yes.
Ever, cause the show is over. So.
Thank God, I don't have to, like, dude, every, like, week when I do watch Breaking Bad now, I'm like, oh, I have to do a video and do a written thing, and like, there's my homework after watching the show.
But we didn't have one this week.
I was down for it. You're like,
I had nothing to say about it. I just really, like, I did not know what to say about that episode.
I saw some, like, great reviews of it afterwards, too, and I was like, yeah, there was plenty to say about it. But, yeah, I mean, I get what you were saying, like, where you were coming from, but I had plenty to say about it. I was like, fuck.
I'm sure we'll have a lot to talk about this week, though, so.
Way more, for sure, yeah.
We'll have a looking forward piece on Tuesday. It looks like we'll have some reviews from Don as well, and maybe a movie horror film piece at some point next week. So
sexy.
We will see.
The GTA 5 review.
And the GTA 5 review, if Tony finishes
that
up. You
can pass 10%.
We need a little more than 10%, I think, but.
You have a lot left to do.
Oh yeah.
that game is deep.
That's why I think it was me. It was like, Tony's doing it. he likes GTA.
I ain't
doing that shit. Fuck that, dude. I want to enjoy that game. Soak it in.
You know what? And next week on the show, well, at least Tony and I, and possibly Fozzie, will have played GTA Online.
That's true.
Hopefully it works. We're not sure if it will. And we're not holding our breaths and hope that it will. So, but yeah, hopefully for the next show, we will have some GTA Online.
Yeah, baby.
Other than that, I think we are good.
I need drugs to go to sleep right now.
Jeff needs drugs to go to sleep. Great.
If you have some, fucking mail it to me quickly.
Yeah, and mail us all the same beer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Different locations.
Someone do that. Yeah.
If you need addresses, get in touch with us via Twitter. Because we are not giving them out over the air. One, there's a lot of addresses.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll be back next week. Jeff and I might watch that Chucky movie.
It could be good.
And play some stuff. Is anything coming out next week?
Zelda.
Yeah, that'll be like when, like, the next episode. Next episode will actually be up when that game comes out, so.
I don't know what else. I'm out of the game.
14. NBA 2K14.
See? Right? I've been out of the game too long. I don't know. I used to have this shit, like, you'd be like, what's coming out next week? I'd be like, fucking Smurfs Dance Party's coming out.
Everybody was always looking for.
It's a good game.
I bet. Yep, so, say goodnight, Jeff.
Goodnight, Jeff. I love you.